Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading chapter 9 in the book of Acts. And we will read only verses 1 through 6, though I would certainly encourage you to read 7 through 20 at your leisure. But we'll be reading from Acts 9, 1 through 6, which is found on page 955 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he journeyed, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Our second reading will come from the book of Revelation. We'll be reading from chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, verses 11 through 14, and it is found on page 1075 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, "To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of John, we'll be reading from chapter 21 of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 19, found on page 945 of your pew Bible. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show what death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord. This is the third post-resurrection visit that Jesus has made in the book of John. And it comes amidst failure. Failure is in the air. Unlike the other two resurrection appearances, Jesus comes to his disciples while they are on the boat fishing. He comes walking alongside the beach, and they have not been able to catch any fish. And he asks them to cast the net on the other side, though they do not know it's Jesus. And they do, and the nets are filled. And the beloved disciple recognizes that it is Jesus, and that's what he says, "It's the Lord." And it's Peter who is the first out of the boat, and he jumps to the water and comes on land to greet Jesus. And on the shore, on land, Jesus has prepared a breakfast for his disciples, and they eat. But it's not so much what Jesus does here, but what he says that matters, especially what he says to Peter. He says, "Follow me." One of the worst things you could call someone in our particular day and age is a follower. No one wants to be called a follower. We all want to be called leaders, or at least we all want to be thought of as people who are independent. But that's what Jesus says to his disciples, and that is his word for all of us: follow me. Follow me because I am the way and the truth and the life. Peter, of course, like all of us, has heard this invitation before, way back in the beginning of the story when Jesus was first calling his disciples. He called Peter, and that is what he said to Peter: "Follow me." And Peter did. He put aside his nets, he put aside the boat, he put aside his fishing gear, and he followed Jesus. Gave his life to the Lord, the way we say it in my neck of the woods. He followed Jesus. And not only was Peter given a new direction for his life, but he was given a new name. He was called the Rock. That's the name that Jesus gave him. Peter means rock. Peter would be the strong one. He would be the reliable one, the unshakable one. Peter would be the one who would proclaim that he would follow Jesus wherever Jesus went. Sounding very committed and steadfast. But then comes Good Friday. And Jesus is arrested by the authorities. And Peter comes to discover a painful truth about himself. He comes to discover that maybe he is not the rock that he might have imagined himself to be. He would end up denying Jesus not once or twice, but three times before the night was over, just as Jesus had predicted that he would. In John's gospel, of course, Peter doesn't so much deny Jesus as he denies his own identity. He denies that he is a follower of Jesus. He denies that he is a disciple. That's what people ask him. Aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you one of this man's followers? And Peter says, no, not me. Nope, I'm not one of the followers. I'm not one of his disciples. He denies his identity as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is without a doubt a shameful performance, one that is born in fear. But Peter indeed denies that he is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now it is after Easter, and the crucified, risen Lord comes looking for Peter, just as the Lord comes looking for all of us in the midst of our own failings, and in the midst of our own disappointments, in the midst of our own inability to live into that self that we sometimes project to the outside world. That image of ourselves as people who are reliable and competent and dependable, people who have it all together, people who don't make any mistakes. But the fact is, we do make mistakes. We all fall short. We all at some point or another fail to live into the expectations that we set for ourselves or the expectations that others have set for us. And so Peter knows that he has failed. And this is not to blame Peter at all, because we all have our Peter moments. We all have those moments when we fail to live into our identities as disciples and followers of Jesus. I know one of mine came relatively early. I was baptized when I was about 12 years old, and when I was baptized, I was given a Bible that I used to read. I actually read the Bible that was given to me when I was baptized, and sometimes I would even take it to school. But I noticed at one point that every time I got near to school, especially in the seventh grade, that I would tuck the Bible away so that it would be hidden. I did that because I wanted to be considered cool, and cool kids didn't read Bibles. Cool kids didn't go to church. And so I didn't want people to see that I had a Bible that I read or that I went to church. And so I denied that I was a follower of Jesus. I don't think that Peter in our text this morning wants to be popular. I don't think he necessarily wants to be cool. Peter simply wants his life. He wants to be able to live his life. He is frightened when Jesus becomes arrested, and so Peter denies the Lord, denies his identity. And I wonder if that is not the reason that Peter has decided to go fishing. He has already experienced the resurrected Lord twice already, and you would think that if he had already experienced the resurrected Lord, that he would be out in the street saying, "Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead," just as we did on Easter Sunday. But instead, he goes back to his old life, his old routines. He goes fishing. I know people who do that. I know people who start out giving their life to Christ and then they experience some mishap, some failing, some weakness, and they go back to their old lives, to their old routines, too ashamed to admit their failure. But the resurrected Lord comes looking for Peter, not to condemn him, but to extend to him again the invitation of discipleship. "Peter, follow me. I want you to follow me." To be sure, the resurrected Jesus doesn't overlook Peter's failure. Indeed, he asked Peter three times, one time for each of the times that Peter denied Jesus. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, take care of my lambs. If you love me, continue to do the work that I have been doing. Continue the work of healing. Continue the work of forgiving. Continuing the work of reconciling people to one another. Continue the work of proclaiming the good news, especially to all of those who are so in need of hearing it. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep if you love me." And it's important to note that that's what love of God is. Love of God is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling that we have inside. It's not just about our individual piety, but love of God is always about concrete action for our neighbors. "Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep." But it all begins in discipleship. It all begins with an invitation to follow the resurrected Lord. I spent a lot of my early life, adulthood, in the Army. I signed up in the Army for the Army when I was 17 years of age, had no idea what it was I was doing. I was just looking for adventure, an opportunity to get away from home and to begin to experience life. But every time something would happen in the Army and I would complain, people would say, "Well, that's what you signed up for. That's why you signed the dotted line." And so in those difficult moments when we went out in the field and it was cold, when we were deprived of certain luxuries that we often took for granted, that's what people would say, "That's what you signed up for." And I imagine that's what happened to Peter too when Jesus first called him. I imagine that he had no idea what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. He had no idea what it meant to be a disciple. He was looking for adventure. He was looking for something to change his life. And so he signed on the dotted line. But now at this point in the story, Peter and all of us know full well what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We know full well what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Being a disciple does not mean that we will be popular. does not mean that once we resolve to follow Jesus that we will be popular. It does not mean that we will be successful in the way that the world understands success. It does not mean that we will be important and people will come to realize our sense of importance. To be a follower of Jesus means that we will be vulnerable. It is an invitation of vulnerability. It is an invitation to put our lives at risk. It is an invitation to relinquish the control that we so covet for our lives. It is an invitation to follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of the cross. That is what Jesus is asking Peter to do. Peter, follow me. If you love me, if you're going to feed my lambs, if you're going to care for people and be concerned for people and work for the betterment of people and the liberation of people, if you're going to bring the light and love and mercy of God to the world, you're going to be vulnerable. You're going to put yourself at risk. This is not a vocation to be successful in the way that the world wants you to be successful. This is not an opportunity for upward mobility, but this is an opportunity to follow me and follow the way of the cross. I'm often impressed when I read the lives of people who make that their vocation. People who, because of a burning desire that they have deep down inside of them to serve God by working for the betterment of the world. People who have sometimes lost everything because they are intent upon feeding God's lambs, upon tending the sheep. Sometimes they lose their very lives. Jesus tells Peter that Peter too will lose his life for the sake of the gospel. When you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you become older, Peter, you will be girded. Someone else will lead you. You will lose all control. You will lose control of your life, and you will go where you don't want to go. And that's what God is calling all of us to do, to sometimes be willing to go to the places where we might not want to go. To go to the kinds of people that we might not want to go to the kinds of neighborhoods that we might not want to go to. To extend ourselves in ways that we might not want to extend ourselves, all for the sake of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't help but to look out the board, that map in the hallway of all of the places where missionaries from this church have gone to bring the light and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to bear in the world. And I imagine that some of those missionaries could have stayed here in relative comfort, lived lives of relative comfort, but they went to the far reaches of the world to bring the love and light of the Lord Jesus Christ to people who might not otherwise have heard it. Some of them started hospitals and schools. Some of them installed equipment that would help people to be able to have clean water and to be able to learn how to grow crops. But they did all of that not because they were looking to serve themselves or because they were looking for an easy life or because they were interested in individual upward mobility. But they did it all because they were being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are called to be as well. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. That's what the resurrected Lord says. Follow me. It may be difficult at times to go to those places where Jesus calls us to go, or to do those things that Jesus calls us to do, or to put our lives at risk and to become vulnerable in the way that Jesus calls us to become vulnerable. But the good news is that Jesus never gives up on us in our failure. He never leaves us to our own devices. But he constantly comes looking for us, looking to extend the invitation to us to be his disciple. Come and follow me. I want you to follow me out into the world. Follow me to bring the love of God to a wayward world. It won't be easy. It won't be glamorous. It won't be something that will afford you glory in the eyes of the world. And maybe for some of us, it might even cost us not only our freedom, but also our lives. But that's what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to walk the way of the cross for the sake of the world. Follow me, says Jesus. Do you have the courage to follow me and become my disciples?